Okay, so now it is said that Prabhupada said 50% of my work is remaining in terms of Varnashram. So what exactly is Varnashram? How is it to be implemented in today's world? Firstly, whatever Prabhupada wanted to emphasize, he gave in his books. And this emphasis on Varnashram is not found in his books. Now this statement, 50% of my work is remaining, it is not found in any of his written books. It is there in his conversations, but still the conversations are not of that same level of authority as his written books. Second point is that Prabhupada also told us that I have given you everything necessary for going back to Godhead. That means Prabhupada has given us 100% in whatever he has given us for our practice of bhakti and for our going back to Godhead. So now, Varnashram is a material arrangement. It is meant for a spiritual purpose, but Varnashram is not a spiritual arrangement itself. It is a material arrangement. And that's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his famous verse, he actually rejects all Varnas and all Ashram. Naham vipro na chinarpatin, naham vivaishyo na shudro. Naham varani na chagrahapatin, manastho yatirva. Kintu prodhyan nikhila paramananda poonamritabdhe gopi bhaktur padakamalayor dasa dasan dasaha. He says, I am not a Brahmana Kshatriya Vaishya Shudra, I am not a Brahmachari Grahastha person. I am simply a servant of the Lord of the Gopis. Servant of the servant of the Lord of the Gopis. That is Krishna. So, Varnashram is also something which we have to transcend ultimately. So, Varnashram was Srila Prabhupada when he saw that he was Prabhupada. Prabhupada was very pragmatic. Pragmatic means he was very practical. It's like a warrior. When a warrior is fighting a war, the warrior has to fight the war based on the conditions that are there at that time. So if we look at Srila Prabhupada's writings in 1965, 66, up to 1970, even up to 1972, 73. Now he basically says the system of Varnashram has failed in India and Varnashram is not practical. The caste system has become very degenerated and therefore one should simply practice bhakti and move onwards towards Krishna. Then later on, when devotees still had difficulties in their practices, those who were in the renounced order could not continue the renounced order, even the marriages were not very stable. So at that time, Prabhupada felt that there's some devotees are not just able to practice transcendence directly. So there has to be some social arrangement by which they can practice as they transit. And he recommended Varnashram. But Prabhupada himself did not give any clear directions about how Varnashram is to be practiced, how it is to be implemented. And the essence of Varnashram is not division of society into four Varnas and four Ashrams. The essence of Varnashram is making one's material circumstances conducive for one's spiritual growth. The essence is that we create our, orient our material life in such a way that it becomes conducive for our practice of bhakti. So that will vary depending on how that is to be done. That will vary depending on time, place, circumstance. So some devotees feel that Varnashram means that we should all go, people should go and live in the villages, in farm communities, and that's where they should practice bhakti. Yes, that's one way of practicing bhakti, but bhakti is not dependent on anything material. It is not dependent on somebody living in a rural circumstance, nor is somebody dependent on somebody living in urban circumstance. So we cannot wait for the practice of bhakti to ourselves practice and to propagate till somehow Varnashram manifests in this world. So what can be practically done in today's world is, we as an individual and we as a community can find out how we can make our material life harmonious with our spiritual life. So His Holiness Devamrita Maharaj, when Bhaktivedanta Hospital was inaugurated and he came to the Bhaktivedanta Hospital in Mumbai, which is basically a hospital, the devotees have come together, devotee doctors, and they have established a hospital. So he said that this is a working model of Varnashram in today's world. What does that mean? Actually, it's not in the hospital you have somebody, a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. No, but there are devotees who have come together, and as devotees, they have created an environment where in a materially conducive way, in a material environment where they are associating with devotees, other devotees, they have created an atmosphere which is relatively conducive for the practice of bhakti. And within that, they are practicing bhakti. So how that can be done in various parts of the world, that will vary according to time, place, circumstance. So I was in Australia last year when I met Devamrit Maharaj. Devamrit Maharaj has created a system. And in India, whenever marriages happen, they are basically arranged marriages. Now either it's, if you are devotees, then there is marriage board or whatever. But in America, in the Western world, there is no culture of arranged marriages. In fact, nowadays there is no culture of marriage only. People simply live together. But anyway, for devotees, if devotees, people become devotees, most of the devotees want to get married. So how to do that? So, you know, we cannot, the parents are not devotees, there are not many elders in the community. How do we replicate the traditional system of marriage? It cannot be done. So the principle is that there is the marriage as an arrangement should be made in such a way that it is conducive for bhakti. So what he as well as several other leaders in the West, in the West most of the marriages happen through the boy and the girl meet, they court each other and then after they find they are compatible and they marry. So he said that if the boys and girls are going to court each other, they should not take any impulsive decisions. So he said the boys and girls, if they are courting, they should first, they have a courting period of 18 months. Whereas in the first 9 months, the boy and the girl only meet in the presence of a chaperone. Chaperone is some other elder. In their presence they meet. And then they can meet together alone. But the point is, why 18 months? Because initially, when we may look at someone and they may look at us and we feel, oh, we love each other. And it all is driven by impulses. And the same force by which people come together, afterwards when the impulses go away, when the hormones dry up, then same force people repel against each other. So what happens there is that basically he said that after, if people are meeting each other, courting each other for 10 months, 12 months in a regulated environment, then they get to see each other quite well. And if they find that we gel, then that's fine. If they find they don't gel, then they honorably separate. And then they move onwards. So this is basically in the element of forming the marriage relationship. There is marriage as a relationship is formed. There is a lot of rajoguna in it. So in the traditional culture, the satvaguna is brought in by the regulation from the elders, from the parents. But when that system is not available, then the satvaguna can be brought in by creating a time period where there is patience required. Then what happens? The passion goes and things can be administered in a more mature way. So different devotees based on different situations, they can create various ways in which the material life can be harmonized for the spiritual growth. So for example, some devotees may come together and form a teaching institute. Or some devotees may come together and form, what is that? Mad over sandwich. So, from the cultural point of view, the name Mad over sandwich, nobody will think of this as Varnashram. But if the intention is to help devotees orient their material life in a way that is harmonious with their spiritual growth, then that is a practical application of Varnashram. So this is, so how to apply Varnashram, that will require a lot of improvisation. Improvisation means we have to find out according to time, place, circumstances what is most practical. So it's not again like about turning back the clock, but it's a turning on the compass. Now devotees and their guides, they both maturely and intelligently discern how can I practice bhakti in today's environment in a way that is having least conflict. Least, there is anyway going to be conflict. See, Varnashram's expertise, everyone has problems in life. Varnashram's expertise is to allocate to people the kind of problems they like to face. That means a Brahmana likes to study. So if you tell a Brahmana, you know, there is some words which says this. Can you find that words? Brahmana will get excited. Yes, I'll search this words. There's a Vaishya. Vaishya, you know, find this words. Why do you need the words? Just give the class without the words. Now some Vaishya likes to work, likes to earn money. And then the Vaishya tells, okay, we want to build a big temple. And we want to raise this much funds. Yeah, very good, I'll go and do it. Now, if a Brahmana, you tell them, you know, we want to raise funds to build a big temple. He says, after building a big temple, anyway, you want to study Shastra. Yeah. Study Shastra now only. So, essentially, the principle of Varnashram is what? Everybody has to face challenges. Everybody has to deal with problems. But if people are taught to deal with problems that they are equipped to deal with, then they can grow, they can contribute constructively. And that's how they themselves gain satisfaction at the material level, that I am doing something constructive, and society also is benefited by the talents. So the essence of Varnashram is to engage people's material nature in a way that is satisfactory for themselves and contributive for society. So that's not necessary to divide society into the four Varnas. But what is important is to engage people in a way by which they are individually satisfied and they are socially contributive. How that is to be done, that will vary according to time, place, circumstance.